Seek be it one, to see the vision of Christ in his these three stages, in the truth clearly, use the Bible and apply it to prayer. 1. Truth is the divine light, shining on the facts of the Bible and televising a heavenly spiritual visions of these facts into our being. In the New Testament, truth denotes this kind of heavenly vision. John 8:12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the reality, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When I was a child, I was taught that Christ died on the cross for my sins, and that he shed his blood for me. This was nothing more than a doctrine to me until I was 19. Then the heavenly vision of Christ's death was televised into me. At the time, I could see Christ dying on the cross for me, shedding his blood for my sin. When I saw this, I wept, I worshipped, and I thanked the Lord. The experience was the visions, the truth. The Spirit seeks the opportunity to shine upon the Word. When he does so, we receive the truth. In knowing the truth, we thus have the facts, the Word, and the Spirit. If we have the Word without the Spirit, we will not have the vision. Whenever we open ourselves to Him, the light shines. As the light shines on the Word, certain things stand out and make a deep impression upon us. This is the truth. The Church as a pillar is composed of all of us. Therefore, even the young sisters must know the truth. This is the reason that I encourage everyone, especially the young people, to get into the Word. 2. The Triune God in His Word, realized by us and being imparted and infused into our being, is the truth that sets us free and sanctifies us. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. 36. If therefore the Son sets you free, you shall be freed indeed. 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The first function of the truth is to set us free. To be deprived of the truth is to be in bondage, in slavery. But to know the truth is to be released from slavery, to be freed. The second function of the truth is seen in John 17:17. The truth sanctifies us. Whenever we come to the Word with an open heart and an open spirit, we immediately touch both the Word and the Spirit as the truth. 2 or 3 times every day, we need to come to the Word. It is rather difficult to come to the Lord as a spirit apart from the Word. What a wonderful instrument the Word is for contacting the Lord. When we are disappointed or depressed, feeling empty within, we can open ourselves and come to the Word. After reading the while, something within us rises up. We enjoy the presence of the Lord. This is the experience of the truth, the reality. This is the Triune God in His Word being imparted into our being. Application to new ones, youth and college students. The youth and the newly saved ones, please see the visions of the three stages of Christ. 1. God became flesh. 2. Flesh became the life-giving spirit. 3. The life-giving spirit became the sevenfold spirit. Truth is a light shining on the facts of the Bible and televising the heavenly and spiritual visions of these facts into our being. Concerning these three points, not only to read the Bible, but also to pray read under the shining of the divine light and see the spiritual vision. Use each scripture to apply and pray. See clearly the truth, the heavenly vision. Prayer for the applications of 1. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constrains us. Footnote: Christ's love. The love of Christ towards us, which was manifested on the cross through his dying for us. Romans 5:8. But God condemns his own love to us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians 2:20. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. 3:1. Before those eyes, Jesus Christ was openly portrayed, crucified. O Lord Jesus, you loved me and were crucified for me. I should have died because of my sin, but you, who are without sin, died in my place and accomplished the redemption. When I think of this, the more I pray, the more the love of Christ presses on me, moves me, and makes me love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Prayer for the applications of 2. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Footnote: The life-giving spirit. First, in incarnation, he became flesh for redemption. Then, in resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit for the imparting of life. Now, he is a life-giving spirit in resurrection, with a spiritual body, ready to be received by his believers. When we believe into him, he enters our spirit and we are joined to him as a life-giving spirit. Hence, we become one spirit with him. Philippians 1:19. Through the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. O Lord Jesus, you became flesh for redemption, and the flesh became a life-giving spirit in the resurrection, that you might enter my spirit and become my life supply, and my everything. Lord, all my needs are in the full supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I shall call upon the Lord's name and continue to touch the Spirit of the Lord. Prayer for the application of 3. Revelations 1:4. For the seven spirits who are before his throne. Footnote: Seven spirits. In essence and existence, God's spirit is one, and the intensified function and work of God's operation, God's spirit is sevenfold. At the time this book was written, the church had become degraded. The age was dark. Therefore, the sevenfold intensified spirit of God was needed for God's move and work on earth. O Lord Jesus, the degradation of the word is accelerating due to the work of the ministry of the lawlessness. However, in order for me to fight against the degradation, the life-giving spirit has become the sevenfold intensified spirit. The function of the spirit, which are shining, exploring, exposing, life-giving, and transforming, was intensified sevenfold. I shall become an overcomer, not by my own strengths, but rely on the sevenfold spirit.